Welcome to another Bigamex radio podcast. This is Amateur Hour. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, number 94 on your program. Unless you're at Loretta's, he's probably going to be running a different number unless he happens to get the luck of the draw. Tanner Dorman, how's it going?
Pretty good. What about you?
Not doing too bad, man. It's absolutely gorgeous weather up here in Canada. I understand that you guys have been getting quite a bit of rain and some heat out there on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. It's been hot.
Oh, for sure. And there's going to be a whole lot more of it. We are about a month's time from me boarding an airplane and heading out to Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Obviously, you'll be flying into Nashville and then making the trek over. And you yourself will be doing the exact same thing. This is the first in a string of podcasts that I'll be doing, sort of grabbing the same sort of podcast that I was doing with Verb Moto, doing the Grom Report. Those guys, we've parted ways, believe it or not. Maybe do some work with those guys in the future, who knows. But either way, this is Amateur Hour. You are currently in the mini senior 1 and 2 divisions, which we're going to get to the bottom of what the hell that means compared to super mini and whatever else. Before we do that, let's spin the clocks back and see where this whole story from Tanner Dorman starts. Why number 94? Number 94. I don't know why I said 95. Number 4. How'd you get into the sport? Why are you still in the sport? And why are you likely faster than I am on an 85 when I'm on a KTM 300 two-stroke?
Yeah, man. So a few years back, well, actually, when I started riding at like 3 years old, but anyways.
So I think we just got to the bottom of why you're faster than me. Okay, cool.
I used to race Supermoto. It's like on asphalt on Supermoto bikes, obviously.
Badass.
But it kind of went on a downfall at like when I turned, I'd say like 10.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? This is like dying. So we were like, I saw this YouTube video of Loretta's. So I was like, you know what? I want to try this. So we got me a 65 and I started riding motocross for like half a year. And then did some air qualifiers. And then the regional, my first regional ever, I got 6th. So I got right in on that one first year.
Boom.
But ever since, you know, having that feeling of being able to go to somewhere that special, you know, it's just been awesome. So
that's super sick, man. So, like, what was your, I assume it was your dad's idea to get you into, Supermoto. Obviously those bikes are super cool. Honestly, were you on a 65 with street tires on it?
Yeah. Yep.
That's
my dad
badass.
Raced pro in it, so.
Okay. Like, if your dad raced pro, like, at one time there was a pretty robust series that kind of went across the states,
it went everywhere.
Yeah, it went everywhere. Like, Doug Henry was in there. Yeah. You had, Pingree and, like, McGrath and those guys. It was in X Games for a short bit. Did your dad ever do anything like that?
Yeah. No, he just raced, like, those pro races, not the, like, X Games stuff.
Fair enough. Okay, so you switched over. Honestly, like, just like aesthetically speaking, you have great riding style. Like, the whether it's pictures from years ago, 2021 on the 65s and stuff like that, now on the big bikes, elbows are up, head is going where it's supposed to be, toes are in, the complete opposite of what it looks like when I have pictures taken of me on a motorcycle. But like, so where does that sort of, like, is that mostly your dad sort of making sure that you've got good habits? Is that you working with absolute clown shoes like Luke Reslin down at Dreamland to get you all squared away? What do you attribute all of your kind of, like, your style and success to so far in the sport?
So, like, the first year, you know, I made on 60 tires, this guy, Ron Rothkranz, he's actually really good friends. With everybody at Dreamland,
okay,
Luke and all of them. And up here in New York, we would train at the sand pit like every Wednesday, and he would just kind of, you know, teach me some stuff. But I mean, I would just like race the local races and stuff and, you know, ride around. And then so at Southwick, the Luke Renson's brother who trains me,
DeWick,
saw me riding. Yeah. So he saw me riding there at Southwick, and he came up to me and was like, hey, I want you guys to, you know, come down to Dreamland. So we came down and it kind of just clicked off from there and we started training. So it's been awesome.
No doubt. You've certainly taken to it quite quickly as well. Some natural talent mixed in with a lot of seat time and some good instruction. And you're from an area that actually gets winter. Like back home, like, you're probably more likely to be a hockey player than a motocross racer. What do you do in the winter months? Do you just head down south or what?
So this is the first year, I really started training, but this year, November time, they have a Dreamland party, like invitational party. So we went down for that. And then I stayed down there from there all through the winter. I only came back for 1 week for Christmas and then came back down, did all the air qualifiers and everything. So I've been down there for a while.
Fair enough. Spending some time. So you rock the Dreamland look 24/7. Of course, you've got the Canvas MX gear. How'd you come across that deal? Is that, do you usually go straight through Michael Lieb or, was that on, MXSponsor.com or how'd you get that, rolling?
So that was actually through Luke. He switched to Canvas and he made that color gear that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got me a few sets of that and yeah, we've been rocking it.
Yeah, a little bit of an old school look to go along with the bike as well. So you're a KTM kid. When it comes to like levels of support in amateurs, I feel like there's as many different levels of support as there is riders on the track. How do you go about like getting like support for bikes, parts, this, that, and the other thing? Maybe you don't even know that you can't even get into that. Maybe that's something that your dad handles, but, like, how does it all work as far as you training and like with the amount of time you guys put on bikes, like you must be going through parts like no tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. My parents really deal with the sponsorship stuff, but you know, I feel like I've been getting better and people have been reaching out and, you know, helping out like my grandma and pop or grandpa, like, you know, helping get bikes for me and stuff, you know, it all helps.
Definitely. Definitely. So, what would you say has been the biggest kind of leap forward you've taken with your riding as far as speed and just like control on the motorcycle just in the last couple of years? Because like you've kind of come onto the scene a little bit more lately, some better, finishes at your qualifiers. You've done quite well, even at a number one plate, from the regional that you went to. What's changed for you?
Honestly, like, ever since I got on a bike, I feel like I've had this, you know, good talent, especially going from supermoto to motocross. But, you know, like, my parents asked me, like, do you want to take this seriously or not? And, you know, when I said, you know, I want to take it seriously, I had to. I had to step up everything, you know, I did. And I think it's been working out great.
Well, no doubt. And yeah, like it's, when you go all in on something, it's, it can be a little bit nerve wracking, but, in so many ways, that's the only way you can truly be successful. Like whether it's, me with this podcast, like honestly, I didn't see a lot of results from it until I just said, you know what? Like I'm putting everything on the back burner. I'm all in on this and it's worked out. Same thing for you with moto. It's the more you seem to lean into it, the more it seems to come to you.
Yeah, you get out what you put in.
Okay, so you're going to Mini Senior 1 and Mini Senior 2. First of all, what is the difference between those two classes, and how are they different from Super Mini? I'm sure there's some people listening who have no idea.
Yeah, so last year it was – so basically it's just an 85 class, but this year, you know, AMA changed up a few things. So they put – last year, you could have a big rear wheel, like a Super Mini, but you could only run a small front wheel. But this year in AMA, they changed it where you can run big wheels. So I've been a little bigger on the bike, and I was going to race Super Mini, but I was like, you know what? They're going to put big wheels on the 85s. I might as well race that. So it's basically just an 85 motor and a Super Mini.
Okay, fair enough, and I'm sure a pretty fairly modded 85 motor at that. Do you find like I'm sure you have a Super Mini as well? Do you not?
Yeah, I have a Super Mini, But I haven't rode it that much because I've just been practicing on the 85 when I'm racing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Does the 85 motor kind of like get a little bit sucked out trying to push a bigger rear wheel, or is it the longer wheelbase actually kind of help the motorcycle? And honestly, like, I think I've heard of a few guys running a smaller wheel in the front. The ergonomics have always looked weird to me when I do see that. Does the bike run kind of funny or ride kind of funny with a smaller front wheel, like, and a big rear wheel? And then obviously when you're able to put both big wheels on the bike, that's a big help in general.
Honestly, like, when I first got in the mini senior class, I was running the big rear wheel. It felt a little weird at first, but once we got it, like, dialed in after a few weeks, I liked it. But I love, like, honestly, just the big wheels, and it's not just, like, a stock 85. Like, you can run mod 85s. I think it's great.
No doubt. So, like, last year, successful seasons for you. You're at the main event. You're at Loretta's. You're dealing with the rain, and the mud there. That was no fun whatsoever. What are your goals for this year heading to the ranch? I'd imagine that, you're going to win.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like at Loretta's, it's like last year I didn't do too great, but like, you know, having my first year train, I've learned a lot. My goal is just to top five and get some podiums in, but that, like, even podiums would be awesome.
No doubt. And you know what? Podiums can turn into a championship, man. There's lots of guys who have gone 2-2-3 for first overall because, a different guy wins all three motos and you were there the whole time.
Yeah, you just got to be consistent at those kind of races, especially with the three-moto format.
Yeah, like, I know this year, I'm honestly, like, I kind of got a little bit robbed last year, being my first year going to the ranch, covering it for Verb Moto. Like, all the days of rain, it was just rinse, lather, repeat of, like, rain until 10 a.m., track work until noon, and then running motos until, like, mud motos until someone had to turn the lights on. But this year, honestly, I'm just hoping for heat. Like, I know it, like, that's kind of unavoidable. You're gonna get heat. I just, if it's as wet as it was last year, that'll be struggle street. Cause that was a long week.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if it was just heat and that, but like, you know, that's what we train for all year for that event and to train to be ready for the heat and everything. But man, I love the mud.
Fair enough. Well, hey, if it does get a little bit wet out there, I know who my money's on to get a damn good finish. Yeah. How do you get good in the mud? Is that just like having a good mindset rolling into it and just like, and honestly doing a lot of practicing in the mud, not shying away from it at all?
I think it was the supermoto, especially with the slicks and the dirt.
Okay,
and stuff.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like
good point.
That definitely helped a lot. And yeah, it's good to have a good mindset coming into it.
100%. I think you're totally onto something with sort of like feeling normal with kind of the breaking of traction when you're on like dirt, like your street tires, and you get on the dirt. You're kind of like, it's almost like you're on marbles all the time anyway. But I think when it comes to mud races, it is 98%. If you feel like, I'm going to be good in this stuff, you will be. If you're on the line being like, oh, I'm not good in this stuff. I'm going to go down. My grips are going to be all muddy. Like that is, you've checked yourself out before, the gate even drops. But there's some guys like Aaron Plessinger and obviously people like put a lot of pressure on him to perform in those conditions, but they're just like, yeah, no, this is, I know I could do good in this stuff. I'm going to ride well. And, it turns out that way.
Yeah, it's definitely mental.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome, dude. So, yourself, as far as like doing bike work and stuff like that, like obviously, if you're working on two strokes, you're running 80s. You're probably going to have to do a lot of engine work, a lot of maintenance. Who does the most part of that? And like, are you cracking open your bike every once in a while? Is your dad doing all the work? What's the deal?
Yeah. So, when I was down at Dreamland, I was down there a lot by myself, but so like I kind of did the normal maintenance, you know, tightening your chain, oil, filter, air pressure, all that, and tightening bolts. But my dad would come down once in a while and get them rebuilt and ready to go.
So what is your biggest mechanical gaffe so far? Like, what's something that you like forgot to tighten, or you completely screwed something up?
Definitely the biggest thing is my swing arm. There's this case, it's something that protects your swing arm, and I wouldn't check. I like would forget to check it, and my chain would go right through my swing arm.
Yeah, the chain guide. Okay, yeah. If you don't, you guys put a lot of time on your bikes. Like how many times, like, take me through a week of riding, especially when you're down at Dreamland. Like, what's a week look like? Like, how many times are you riding? Like, what type of hours are you putting on a bike?
So, we ride 5 days a week. So, Monday, usually, we try to get, like, an hour or two in each day, but Wednesdays we like, you know, take a look, we do a least amount of work during the week and just, you know, keep the body, you know, ready for every day, because you don't want to just be sore riding every day. But so during the week we wake up, eat, or go to the gym, we do some stretching at 7:30. And then we start riding at 9. So, I don't know. I like it. And then we have a workout after every day.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to live, man. I like, regardless of where you end up going within the sport of motocross, you will forever look back at the summers or the winters you're able to spend down there doing that as like some of the best times of your life. Because yeah, just getting to ride and train and work and get that much time on a dirt bike, that is rare air. As far as, yeah, even a lot of young kids your age would love to be able to do something like that, let alone guys like me who get to ride maybe once a week at the absolute max, and I have arm pump the entire time. When it comes to competitiveness and going to some whether it's local races or smaller races between qualifiers, and this is some of the things I've talked to with like guys like Daxton Bennick and Seth Dennis and stuff like that. Like, is there a little bit of a target on your back when you show up to a race like that? Like, people kind of know that you're showing up and you've got some speed. Do guys race you differently than maybe they would somebody else? How does that go?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it always feels like there's a target on your back when you go to a local race and you know you're the best guy. But, I mean, I just go out there and, you know, race it like it would be any other race, you know?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you need to do, is just like kind of like block it all out. I'm sure lots of guys deal with that. Like, they want a little piece of a guy that they know to be fairly good, or they know that they've got like some good engines under your belt. Have you ever like been a witness of any like kind of drama at the track of like protesting or like moto dads getting wild, or has that been tamed down since the Alessi era?
No, it's actually, you know, I've never ran into anything like that, but I'm hoping not to, you know. It's just, you know, it sucks having drama, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely not. So, when you, like, you know, you mentioned off air that, Luke Reslin has been a little bit scarce at Dreamland, and it actually hurts me to hear that, because, like, I can't imagine you successfully going through an entire day without taking in the key features of the particular racetrack that you're riding on. I also have to call into question your authenticity of being from the Northeast, because you don't have any type of accent.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, it sucks not having him there. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But his brother is awesome.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about his brother and one of some of the things that he brings to your training.
So Cody Renson, he's actually trained his brother Luke all his racing career. You know, he was his trainer. They would just pound out training every day, but you know, he's been great to me. You know, I like working with him, and I've definitely learned a lot with him.
No doubt. So what's one thing that he's brought to your game that you wouldn't have had otherwise?
Honestly, I feel like just the way he like speaks, you know, like it's really easy to understand, and he says it well.
Speaks plain English, that certainly helps. Though you're dealing with a guy like me, if you can speak slowly and use small words, you can usually understand a little bit better. What's something that you have to work on? What's something that if you're like just like straight up, as far as like looking at your heart of hearts of like a hole in your game, what is it you're trying to improve on the most between now and when the gate drops at Hurricane Mills?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I was down there, I used my clutch way too much. So when I was down there, you know, it was an ongoing problem. So we took my clutch away for 6 weeks. Didn't touch it once for 6 full weeks. And yeah, that definitely helped. I haven't been using it much because I did not want that to happen again.
No, you don't need that whatsoever. Where does play riding come into things as far as being able to sort of ride unstructured, like whether you're like kind of working on some just sort of like general bike skill or just like going out and putting laps on a bike or trying to do some fun stuff. I know you do some pit bike riding as well, back a couple of years back, but, like every time you hit the track, are you trying to work on something or is there a little bit of freedom to be able to sort of like, just kind of do your thing?
You know, there's always something to be done, but down at Dreamland, you know, like after a good day's of riding, we always, you know, all of the boys go mess around and get some clips, you know, hitting some sections.
Okay.
And on the big track, throwing some whips, but it's awesome.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, that's the way to be, man. Like, you gotta, like, it's so funny. Like, I think of guys like, well, Ryan Villopoto could throw a pretty decent whip when he needed to, but like, I can't think of a single time that a guy like Mike Alessi, who was an amateur superstar, a professional superstar in his own right as well, I don't think there's a picture of Mike getting her sideways.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's fun to have, mess around once in a while, but, you know, there's a lot to work on.
Certainly. So take me through the intensity of, like, and for you guys training, I can't even imagine going, because my motos when I was on 80s, I think they were 12 minutes. If they're late in the day, I bet they're doing, like, green-white checkers. So it's like the moto's not even 10 minutes long. You guys go 20 minutes plus a lap. And at Loretta's, For your class specifically, it's maybe the most intense 20 minutes in sports history. Like, it's literally every single one of those guys on the line expects to be in the top 10. Newsflash, there's 40 of you. That won't happen. And, like, the urgency and honestly, it almost like you guys almost have, like, straight-up sheer panic the entire time while riding. How do you manage that while also basically harnessing that intensity for that long of a duration? Because like after the first couple laps sort of settle in, the bullets don't stop flying. It's basically somebody's coming from the back or somebody's moving forward. You really got to work on that sort of thing, and it's very intense racing and not in all of the 85 classes, including the super mini.
Yeah, definitely. Like down at Dreamland, we try to like do some longer stuff just so like we're ready for that. And especially like training with all the pro guys down there, we would do like, you know, what a pro day is like, you know, we'd be doing 40 minute motos, but we also like to break down like some sprints and like being fast early into it. But usually like, you know, at those big races, there's never a break.
Yeah, no, not so whatsoever. Like literally, as soon as the gate drops, every single one of those kids is just sprinting. If they don't get a good start, like they're just pouring the coals through the bike until they get to where they're going to get to. And like I said, there's not a single kid that's on the line whose dad is like, all right, I'd be pumped on the 25th here. Like, no, they're all like, that's the crazy thing about Loretta's is that like, in order to go to the regional, you have to be fast. In order to come out of the regional, you have to be extra fast. Like, literally, nobody, like, everybody who got there, everybody on the line is a sixth place guy or better. And someone's going to go out there and get 30th. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, like, we're all fast and we're so close together.
Yeah.
You know, there's no room for mistakes.
Right. And some kids are a little bit more sendy. Some of them aren't so sendy. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like, what would you say you're sort of known for as far as your riding style and all that fun stuff?
I mean, definitely getting loose. Yeah.
You're a little bit loose on the screws a little bit, maybe a little bit of Hayden Deegan style a little bit, kind of a little bit off the back of the bike, the jersey untucked, the whole nine yards, or what?
Yeah, I like being on the back of the bike, but I've definitely been trying not to because not that fast.
Fair. Yeah, no.
Go ahead. Hayden Deegan makes it look fast.
He certainly does. He might be the exception, not the rule. And actually, it's funny. I was at a track yesterday, and I saw a young racer on a gas just hanging off the back of the motorcycle, revving the absolute piss out of his 85. And it was fast. Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure the kid had 5 seconds a lap on me. But, like, there were certain parts of it where I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know that that's efficient. And I don't know either that, like, it's sustainable over the course of a long, rough moto, because eventually, if there's braking, but like, you get some really sketchy sections, or if there's some kickers, stuff like that, like, the sort of, like, this riding style, if you're on the fringes of what's in control, that can bite you pretty quick, and that's a way to end your weekend pretty quick.
Yeah, especially, like, you know, back when I would only do, you know, local races and stuff, I feel like I'd get this, like, local race fever where, you know, I felt like if I was just wide open and, like, it sounded, like, super fast, then I was fast. And, you know, everybody would be like, dude, you're ripping out there. But, like, now realizing it, you know, I was just out there burning my clutch out every
Yeah, you're just making lots of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like me on my KX125. I'm making a ton of noise, not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you yourself, you're on mini senior right now. You're 14 years old, which means you're probably a little bit short in stature as far as most kids your age. What's the sort of game plan as you move forward? Are you looking to possibly be on a super mini again next year to be the full size bike, or possibly like when you do move to big bikes, would you stay with KTMs and maybe do 1 year on maybe say like? I think it's Schoolboy 1 on the 125s, and then also the 125 BC?
Yeah, definitely haven't looked into, like, the big bikes much, but this year we're kind of thinking, you know, race the 85 mini senior class at Loretta's and stuff.
Yeah.
And then race the super mini at, like, other big events like Minios and stuff.
Okay.
And then next year, maybe be on a 125 BC in Schoolboy.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of kids that have had a lot of success there. Like Cade Johnson spent 1 year on the with Yamaha on the 84 the 125. Same thing with Logan Best. He did the exact same thing. They basically all kind of like filtered through that program. Have you spent any time on a 125, or is that like you're just focused on riding 80s right now?
So back like a little while, I got a 125. You know, I was gonna ride around at the house and stuff, but it was the new KTM, and they're having a lot of problems, so we got rid of that, and I just kept focusing on the 85s.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I was talking to Seth Dennis about that exact thing. Is that like his last year? Honestly, he was on the super mini. He was probably a little bit big on it. And I asked him if he'd spend any time on a 125, and he literally like kind of looked me dead in the eyes, like, "We can't keep them together." Like they've had some like basically some ignition issues with them. They're not really like, and I wouldn't say I've ran into any issues with my 300, but it definitely doesn't run as smoothly and as crisply as my carbureted bike did, which is kind of weird because those bikes are almost 10 years apart. 8 years apart, but yeah, it's interesting that you'd say that because yeah, moving to the 125, like I guess all kids would have to be on the fuel injected version now, right? If you're on a GasGas, Husky, or KTM.
Yeah, they're all like switching over to that, but the YZs still our car rating. Yeah. I think that's what we would go with if I were to race a 125.
Fair enough. Or you just, yeah, just skip that whole deal altogether and go four strokes. Because that's what you'll be on if you end up lining up for a pro national at some point, unless you're going to just be out there stank dogging it. Who do you look up to when it comes to riding style and just overall like professionalism in the sport? Do you watch, like, do you pay close attention to pro racing, or are you just lost in your own little world?
No, I actually look into it a lot. Honestly, my favorite riders, I like Chase Sexton, Ken Roczen, and Cade Wolf from MXGP.
Okay. That kid's got some sick style.
Cade Wolf definitely is my favorite. I love the way he rides.
I like it. He's also like head-to-toe Fox. I don't know how you feel about that. I think personally, I think Fox is the stuff to ride with, but each to their own. Do you have anything up your sleeve for with Canvas and Loretta's, or like are we running the same setup we're currently running?
So we're gonna be designing different stuff for Loretta's, but I don't really deal with that kind of stuff, so. I don't know, really. I just see it and wear it.
Fair enough. Whatever they put on or put on me, you'll wear it. Just go fast anyway. I like it. Just that's some no nonsense attitude that we thrive on over here at Big MX Radio. When it comes to like training, like how much off the bike training do you do? I know you do some road biking. How does that kind of fall into place?
Definitely, like, especially not being down in Florida and mostly doing riding. Up here, I've been doing a lot of cardio and stuff. And, you know, we try to get 2.5 hours of cardio in per day, like, even on weekends and stuff. So that's been going good. Definitely a lot of off-the-bike stuff, you know, from rowing, cycling, running, and all that.
What would be your least favorite cardio exercise? What's your favorite?
Rowing 110%. I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Perfect. But, you and Zach Osborne would be friends.
Yeah. Honestly, I like running. You know, I've been getting better at it. But cycling is definitely my favorite. You know, you get to explore a lot.
Yeah, no, you can see the world from the seat of a bicycle or a dirt bike in this case. Tanner, I know you've got a ton of great sponsors, people who help you out, and helped you get to where you're at. If you have a list in front of you or a few off the top of your head, give those people some love for me.
Yeah, definitely Cody Remsen for helping me out all year. The whole Dreamland crew, Factory Connection with the suspension, Links, building my motors. And I just got a new sponsor with Cannondale.
Nice.
And that's been going good. And everybody else, you know, has been great. Mellow Design for the graphics, Scott, all that. But everyone, thank you.
Hell yeah. You're always wearing a brand new pair of Scott Prospects, so that's dope. Are you going to the Nationals this weekend?
Yes, sir.
You should, if you can, you should find Keith Johnson and ask him about Cannondale, because he rode their dirt bikes.
Really?
Yes. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and do some light Googling about Cannondale. I think it was 2001. It was like they did the reverse motor that the Yamahas have, but this is way ahead of time. It was electric fuel injected. They came in different colors. They were fugly, and they broke all the time. But, it was Jeff Gibson and Keith Johnson, of course, both guys from kind of your neck of the woods. And it did not go well, but, I know their mountain bikes and their road bikes are pretty legendary. So you're in good hands there.
Yeah, I'm looking at their dirt books right now. They look a little funky.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, it was about 10 years before you were born. So there's also that. But yeah, that'll maybe keep you busy for the afternoon. But Tanner, this has been fun. I enjoyed having you on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Hope to be back.
Absolutely. No, you'll be a repeat offender, definitely. And we will see you at the ranch. Appreciate the time,
yeah,
my friend.
For sure. Yeah. All right.
All right, man. Well, don't hang up just yet. Don't hang up just yet, but for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown man. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the whispering. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do. 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side. Hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch.